Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We'll do quite a bit of sports talk today and get into the NFL, and Rich Cimini will join us at 11 o'clock. But Rick, I feel like we have to start with today is April Fool's Day, and I feel like that wins. I feel like every day has become April Fool's Day for the life that we are currently leading right now.
Yeah, I mean, it still seems surreal. And I mean, the only thing I think getting a lot of people through this is trying to come to, you know, some semblance of a daily routine, a daily schedule to try to keep you on track and get you through this. Because, I mean, otherwise, I mean, with no sports on TV and everything else, I know me personally, you're battling through it. And I mean, it's hard on everybody, but, you know, you got to find a way to make it through, make it work. And if that's doing 4 or 5 art projects a day or whatever you have to do, playing some Uno, that's what you're doing. That's what we're doing.
Dave, after my 90-day trial of 2020, I'm ready to cancel my subscription. That's all I can say right now. I mean, the calendar just turned over to April. That puts us another month closer to 2020 being over, man, because it's been a rough year so far.
Oh, this is a, I mean, rough year is like an understatement, right? I can't believe. And remember when 2019 ended? We were like, all right, let's bring in 2020. Nobody thought we could possibly have this, and we're only a quarter of the way through. So you're right. Let's cancel. Let's refund our money and let's move on, Chris, because my goodness. And by the way, for everyone, I can't imagine there's a lot of idiots out there. We're not celebrating April Fools today. We're not joking around. We're not giving false information. We're not playing that game, Chris. We are here for levity. We are here for some serious conversation, and we are here for some sports talk as well.
We like to have fun, Dave, but we don't want to be a part of anybody spreading any misinformation about what's going on right there, right now, because it's such an uncertain time, and there's already enough anxiety, so we don't want anybody to call in and give us any crazy phone calls. We just want to have fun, talk about sports, talk about life, and try to add some relief and give some sense of normalcy to the people out there that listen to us every single day.
Now, I did get a great tweet last night. It was from someone that ordered delivery to the house. And he said, it never occurred to me, but listening to you guys yesterday, I upped my tip by a tremendous amount, and the guy was so appreciative and so thankful. So at least we're spreading some kind of normalcy around to the land. But the big moment yesterday on the show was Rick had a toilet malfunction, and he became a certified master plumber by the end of the show. He said it was fixed. Let's go back there quickly. Where are we with the upstairs bathroom toilet?
The toilet is completely fixed, Dave.
Completely fixed.
And I actually tested. I tested it. I did exactly what I would normally do in the morning. And that thing, I mean, I had to get off it. Almost, I mean, don't suck me in. There's that much. I mean, there's that much power with this thing.
Look at Santiago.
He's on his game. I mean, he's well rested.
He really is.
Too well rested.
don't you miss burning the midnight candle, right? And just staying up to do the Knicks till 12:30, wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
I have nothing to do, Dave. This is really boring.
I think a lot of us feel the same way. And the NFL, you know, Rick, I know you and I have differing opinions on this. They just go on like they're blind to anything going on in the real world. We're gonna have the draft. I guess people are getting upset by the draft being at the end of April, which doesn't bother me as much, but. You know, they're gonna just start the season in September, and away we're gonna go. I don't know. It feels like their head is in the clouds a little bit to me.
Well, I mean, I think they're in a unique situation. I mean, this isn't the NBA or the NHL and in Major League Baseball where, I mean, you're forced to play games. I mean, the things that they can do that are on their calendar. I mean, I think you had the same conversation leading into free agency, and it was a welcome distraction. And you know, we had a couple weeks talking about that. But I think it would all depend on the situation. I mean, if all of a sudden in the next couple of weeks we're finally reached the peak of this thing, or hopefully reached the peak of this thing, and you're starting to see, I mean, the death toll continue to go up, you know, then maybe they pivot, and maybe it's a bad look for them. But right now, I mean, Greeny keeps saying it, SVP keeps saying it, and I'm 100% all in with it. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to be optimistic. So, I mean, do we need it? Yeah, I think we kind of need it, especially here in the sports world. It would be nice to turn your mind off for a couple of days and just watch the NFL draft. But, I mean, at this point, Dave, who knows what the hell is going to happen, where we're going to be in September. But, I mean, listen, I got to be honest. Fingers crossed. is that we do have NFL football when it's supposed to start.
Well, here's the thing. I think what the league is doing is good for the psyche of the country because, like you said, Rick, at least for a little bit throughout the course of our day, we can fix our minds on sports. And everybody in America is pretty much passionate about the NFL. So you have an opportunity to talk about something other than coronavirus. But also, from Roger Goodell's standpoint, from a planning and logistical aspect, we don't know what's going to happen next month or 2 months from now or 3 months from now. So I think them going about business as usual is the prudent thing to do because we got 5 months until the regular season kicks off. So we don't know what's going to happen. And with all of that uncertainty, it doesn't make sense to start ripping up the plans for the 2020 offseason, not knowing where the country is going to be as far as containing the spread of this virus. So I think it's the smart thing to do for the NFL to continue business as usual. I understand there are some logistical hurdles with organization for drafts and for free agency and getting contracts signed and all of that stuff. But teams will figure out a way, and it's a level playing field because everybody is dealing with the same constraints. But I do think that the NFL is doing the right thing by trying to hold out hope that you're going to be able to kick the regular season off on time and that you will have the ability to have fans in stadiums.
Well, we got to figure that mini camp is not going to happen, right? I mean, that's right around the corner, and I can't imagine
OTAs and everything else.
No, OTAs and mini camp aren't going to happen. But Dave, you don't need that to have a football season, right? In 2011, the lockout year, we didn't have OTAs and mini camps. We didn't have an off-season strength and conditioning program, but we still started the season on time. Now, training camps weren't at the remote locations that a lot of teams usually use. They were at the team's facilities, but you're not going to find any NFL players complaining about that because most NFL players prefer the team's facilities to a college or university nearby anyway. So I just think with everything that's going on, we're making a big deal out of it because it's out of the norm, but I don't think it's really going to affect the business of football, especially when it pertains to what we're going to see this fall.
Do you think they look at it and have like a drop dead date of, all right, guys, if we're not back and somewhat functional by this date, there's going to have to be something that we do?
Yeah, I would imagine that they're going. I mean, what they're selling right now is hope, and you know, me personally, I appreciate it. I mean, you need something to look forward to, and it's something to grasp at. I mean, it's a light at the end of the tunnel that you know we will get through this, and once we get through it, you have the NFL to look forward to. But, I mean, I would imagine they're sitting right now having conversations about contingency plans. You know, if this thing is, you know, if we push the season back a week, you know, is this an opportunity, you know, to have the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend? Like, I mean, are we going to play in front of in empty stadiums? All those things have to be going. All those conversations have to be going on right now.
800-919-3776. Of course, the phone calls are welcome as they are every single day. So another thing, we get the new playoff format this year, right, Chris? We're up to 14 teams, 7 in each, only one bye. That's going to start this year as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to start this year. The owners voted on it yesterday, and they got a 3/4 majority. So at least 24 out of the 32 owners voted to approve it. And I think it's what's in the best interest of the league. And who's going to complain about a couple of extra playoff games? I don't think anybody would. Now, it puts the second seed in each conference at a disadvantage because they no longer get to bye. The two seed will have to match up with the seven seed. But I think that makes for better theater, better drama as we build toward the end of the regular season because you're going to have more meaningful games down the stretch. So I'm excited to see it, Dave. I mean, this past year we would have had the Rams, a team that played in the Super Bowl in the 2018 season, and we would have had the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of the most iconic franchises in the NFL. Both of those teams would have made the playoff field in their respective conferences. I thought that would have been interesting, man. I thought it would have been compelling drama, great matchups, and people would have been here for it.
Well, the Steelers, I don't think, would have been great. The Rams, I think, would have been really good. The Rams were a good football team. But the Steelers, with the quarterback situation, I don't think would have been great. But overall,
I think there are a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and so you have the opportunity to engage another market and have them match up against the Kansas City Chiefs out in Arrowhead. I think that fans, people would have been excited about it.
Maybe.
Might not have been a great game, but people would have been excited.
Yeah, I think the Steelers and the Chiefs in the postseason is exciting, and I think the game would have been a disaster, and Kansas City would have won by 20 points. But I think for the most part, because I've heard a lot of, well, you know, you're going to start to get these lesser teams in the postseason and it's going to be watered down. I don't think like that. I don't feel like that. I think you're still going to get a very good product in the postseason. And I think typically the seventh best team in a conference is a team that's pretty much worthy of going to the postseason.
Well, I think they said, I think the stat is since 1990, when the last time that the playoff format was changed, I think there would only have been one team that was under 500 that would have qualified for the playoffs under the new format.
Right. So the teams that mainly are going to be these sub 500 teams are the teams that win awful divisions, but that would be that way anyhow.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fundamental flaw of the playoff system is that if you play in a bad division, you could be, 7-9 or 8-8 and make the playoffs and host a playoff game as opposed to, an 11-5 Patriots team with Matt Castle as the quarterback that doesn't end up making the playoffs.
Right. So that team now gets into the postseason and the 7-9 Seahawks team still gets in because that's the way that the NFL is set up, Chris, is that if you win your division, you have a home game and you are immediately into the postseason.
Yeah, and I get it. I have to reward the division winners, but I mean, it sucks when you have double-digit win teams on the outside looking in the playoffs. I think this new rule, this new format mitigates that to some degree. I mean, I went back and looked. The 10-6 2010 Giants would have gotten into the postseason that year, and that was the year I believe that the Green Bay Packers, who were a wild card team, ended up winning the entire thing. But there was a 7-9 Seattle Seahawks team that won their division and hosted a home playoff game against the New Orleans Saints. So, I mean, this is a situation where I think if you're a good team, if you're a competitive team, if you're a double-digit win team, you're going to be in the playoffs. You don't have to worry about that anymore. And for me, I think that there should be some kind of reward for teams that have that kind of success in the regular season.
Yeah, you shouldn't really go 11-5, certainly, but you shouldn't really go 10-6 and not get in. That's a hell of a season. Like, if you go 10-6 in the NFL, Rick, you deserve to gain entree into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, if you look back, I'll give you some numbers. If you look back, since the start of 2002, that's 36 additional playoff teams. Nine would be 8-8. None obviously with losing records.
Right.
Would have been the number seven seeds. And over that same period, you'd have eight of the nine 10-6 teams that missed the postseason would have made it under the new format. So that's rewarding who you want to reward of the team with the double digit wins, that don't win the division that end up missing out on the wild card. I think it keeps more people interested. You know what I mean? It keeps more markets interested.
Of course it does.
And it's an extra, and all of a sudden now, I mean, it sets up perfectly for my new holiday, You're Welcome, where you have, three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday. I mean, that's unbelievable.
But Rick, what it also sets up perfectly for is for the NFL to start negotiating these television contracts, and I'm not sure you guys seen it or not, but they've already decided who is going to carry those additional playoff games. It's going to be NBC and CBS. So, I mean, in this time where we have so much economic uncertainty, we were talking about why the players should push to get the CBA signed and agreed upon. It's because the NFL had a plan in how they were going to approach the contract negotiations for the new TV deals. And for that to already be publicized, just let you know that there's a framework that they have in mind about what these contracts are going to look like. And it's a windfall for everybody involved.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's going to be billions and billions of dollars. Now, did I see this? And the phone lines, of course, are open. 800-919-3776. We jump off with the NFL, but we'll go God knows where during the course of the show today. Did I see it? And if I'm wrong, I'll look ridiculous and that's fine. Did I see that Nickelodeon will simulcast?
Nickelodeon. Yeah. And this aggravates me. This kind of pisses me off.
Are they going to dump slime on the, like, how will this work exactly?
No, I think it's going to be more geared towards the younger audience, and we'll end up seeing who's going to call the game and who's going to be the sideline reporters and everything else. I think they'll probably have a different halftime show, I'd imagine, because of all the, some of the negative publicity that went into, this year's halftime performance. This aggravates me too, because I pitched this probably 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, that there should be, I'm sitting here with my son, right? And I'm trying to figure out, like, what can we watch? He likes watching sports, but I mean, his attention span, he's like a gnat. I mean, he's 5 years old, so he's but all of a sudden you throw a Paw Patrol or something on and he's dialed in, like he is locked in. So I pitched, we're owned by Disney. Why don't we do for kids a sports center, a Disney sports center, like a kid sports center that you could have, hosted by Mickey Mouse. You know what I mean? Something like that with more animation involved. I mean,
right.
The kids would love that.
Okay. And how far up the ladder did you bring this?
Right up the ladder.
All the way up the ladder?
Is high? No, not all the way.
Don't
up.
Throw anybody under the bus.
No, as high as I could get. I thought it was, I mean, I think that's a great idea for the kids. Get the kids involved in this.
So a kid-centric sports center.
Yeah, you know how like, So I watch this Lego show now, right? This new
yeah,
Lego
Ben
Masters
loves that show. Yeah, he loves
yeah,
that.
He loves it, right? But the cool part about that show is they'll make their builds. They build their builds, and then all of a sudden, like, it comes alive. Have you seen the show?
I don't know how.
Okay, but with technology or whatever it is, I guess they must use the same concept they use in the Lego movies. So they're like, it comes, like, the story gets told and it comes alive. Like, the Legos come alive, which is unbelievable. So the other part of my idea was that we should have each player, because the guys would love this, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL, you help create your own animated character. So now you can show the highlights in animation. So everyone's like a cartoon in the highlights. So the kids are watching real highlights, and you could watch the real highlights, but it's cartoon version.
Yeah, they should cater to kids. They have the Snapchat Sports Center that my kids.
But
like
you're
to
actually,
watch
but you're actually catering to the parents too, because now the kids, like, you want to watch something that, like, you want to watch your sports highlights. The kids don't want to watch it with you, but all of a sudden now they want to watch the animated version. So you're still mm-hmm. getting the same highlights, but just the animation.
So really, it feels like your idea was somewhat ripped off here.
It sounds like it a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, Dave? I think it's something that the NFL views as trying to be forward-thinking and making sure that they attract a younger viewer, a younger audience, just because you recognize that kids aren't playing football as much as they used to 10, 15 years ago. So it makes sense to try to engage that younger fan base in some way, shape, or form. And I think this represents an opportunity. And from the broadcast partner side, I think CBS was looking for a way to be able to pitch the NFL on why it should maintain its standing with the amount of NFL properties that they have broadcast rights to. I mean, you talked about them paying Tony Romo $17 million a year to be the color on the play-by-play broadcast. I think them offering up Nickelodeon as a chance to broadcast some of the playoff games and maybe some regular season properties as well makes all the sense in the world. I think that's why that situation came to be. I think that's how it manifested itself and why Viacom CBS decided to try to use Nickelodeon as one of the vehicles the NFL can engage younger audiences.
So what are we going to have? Our first NFL weekend of the postseason will be 3 games on Saturday and 3 games on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how good is that going to be?
No, it's going to be amazing. Start at 1, take you all the way through. I mean, I think the last game kicks off at, what, 8 o'clock?
So even on the Sunday, we're going to get the late, like, 8:30 kickoff?
It's what you would have on every NFL Sunday, right?
Right. So it's going to be like your normal NFL Sunday. So you'll get the 1, you'll get the 4:30, you'll get probably the 8:15, and then you'll... Wow, that's going to be
But
so
Dave,
wild
you get
weekend.
That on back-to-back days, on back-to-back weekends. Think about that. You get that Saturday, you get that Sunday, and then the following Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, this sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Oh, it sounds unbelievable. I mean, it does. I mean, the one negative thing, I guess if there is a negative thing as far as teams look at this, I mean, it does put the number one seeds at a huge advantage. Huge advantage.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of nice? Like, you
That's
are the
way it should be.
Seed. Yeah, you get a huge advantage now. You've had the best. There's only one team in the entire NFL that can say they've had an equal season to you, and that's the other conference, the number one seed. I kind of like that.
No, you kind of like it, and I'm sure the number one seed would kind of like it too. But if all of a sudden now you start running through, I mean, we're five Super Bowls in, and it's both number one seeds playing in the five Super Bowls, that could be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They have a huge advantage, so you got to figure, right, that those because those teams are going to have home field and they're going to have to win 2 games to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, I love those chances.
I love it too, Dave. And I don't think we have to worry about the one seed making it to 5 straight Super Bowls. I know it's a tremendous advantage. You know, you get to start off in a divisional round rather than starting off being 1 of 14 with the chance to advance to the Super Bowl. But I just. For me, it's all about being able to reward the team that had the best regular season, and there's going to be a lot of competition to try to get that number one spot because of how valuable it is just from an odd standpoint. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to make for incredible TV. It's going to be, you know, a lot of drama, a lot of buildup once we get to the month of December and people jockeying for playoff position.
So what is it? It's 4 division winners and now 3 wild card teams. So 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. The 1 seeds get the bye. And then when we get to week 2, it'll just be business as usual. There'll be four teams left, and then we'll have that. Then the next week we'll have the championship games, and then we have the Super Bowl. So the only change, and it is a monumental change, but the only real change is the extra team and the extra playoff game on Saturday, Sunday of the first weekend, and then it goes back to what we've seen forever now.
Yeah, but it's been 30 years. I mean, you're talking about you have more teams, too, in the NFL. So,
sure.
I mean, I get, you know, people... you know, like it a certain way, and I mean, you hear all sorts of different opinions, but
I
mean,
I understand people that, and I'm one of these people. Although I like this, like they're just hesitant for change. People,
yeah, but
do
look at the numbers,
like
though.
Change.
Yeah, but the numbers back up that there's not going to be. I mean, you're not talking about a bunch of, you know, 8-8, 7-9 teams now making the playoffs. They're still going to be good teams. The problem with the playoff system, if there is any problem, because we all love the NFL and we love NFL playoffs, is the Fugazi, you know. 8-8, 7-19 that wins the division that hosts a playoff game.
Yeah. Because that stinks.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a distinct advantage of having a home. I mean, Chris can speak on this better than me. I actually like playing on the road, but, I mean, I would imagine there's a distinct advantage of playing at home in the playoffs in the NFL.
Yeah, there's a huge advantage. Huge advantage. But that being said, when we won the Super Bowl, we had the wild card game in our building, and then we went on the road for the divisional game against a 15-1 Packers team, and then on the road for the championship game in San Francisco and into the Super Bowl. So, I mean, listen, the 2007 Giants were on the road for their entire run. Yep. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. So, again, I think when you start talking about the tournament, if you get in, anybody's got a chance to get hot at the right time and win the entire thing. I mean, the one seed has a huge advantage because that's one less game you have to play, but you still got to go out there and you got to try to win. In 2007, I was a one seed in the NFC with the Dallas Cowboys. We were 13-3. And the Giants came in our building and beat our ass. So, I mean, it can happen.
How about that, huh? I mean, I have so little. I mean, let me just have that. By the way, Chris, I don't know if you saw it last night. I think from 9 to 11:30 on the NFL Network was your Super Bowl was on. Did you catch it at all?
I didn't catch it, Dave. Yeah. I was actually in the bed. I was wrapping up watching Tiger King. I finished through episode 4 now. But then after that, man, I was beat, so I just took it down.
Yeah, so I was doing the tour of the channels, right, as we tend to do, and I hit the NFL Network. I was like, oh, I wonder what the NFL Network has on. And it was the Patriots were starting their last real drive, not the last one where they didn't score, the last real drive, the one where Welker dropped the ball or was overthrown or whatever you want to say, and they went down the field, punted it away. And then 88 yards later, the first play of the drive, of course, the throw to Manningham and a couple more throws to Manningham, had a big throw to Akeem Nicks. And then, you know, it doesn't get discussed a lot because it didn't matter, but Bradshaw should never have scored on that run. What was the thought on the sideline when he went into the end zone?
No, he was trying to stop, but his momentum carried him in the end zone. Like, he was trying to stop, and he was shaking his head. But, I mean, listen, it's just one of those things that happened. And for us on the defensive line, we wouldn't want to have it any other way. Like, if the game was going to be on the line, we wanted to be on the field. And you saw on that last Patriots drive, before they threw that Hail Mary, our pass rush was hitting Tom Brady quite a bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Justin Tuck was unbelievable.
Tuck was unbelievable. Linville Joseph had a hell of a game. Like, everybody on our D-line came to play. Felt like everybody impacted the game on some level. But, Dave, going back to that second-to-last Patriots drive, when they missed that throw to Wes Welker, mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen the soundtracks version of that Super Bowl, but the referee right there on the spot said, that was the game. Like, he literally said out loud to one of the other officials, that was the game. That was a huge play.
Yeah, I mean, and he was wide open. And then I guess it was Collinsworth. Yeah, and I love Collinsworth, but he said the most ridiculous thing. Do you know what he said, Chris? He goes, that's a play that Wes Welker catches 100 times out of 100. I was like, what? He just did not catch it. So
he didn't catch it.
Yeah. And then Michaels, because it was such a bizarre thing to say, he didn't catch it. So it's not 100 out of 100. And Al Michaels, to his credit, goes, well, I guess that was the 101st time then, because he wasn't able to. I mean, I was like, what are you talking about? It was.
But Collinsworth also said on that Manningham catch, if the Giants win the Super Bowl, that will be one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history.
And look at it. I mean, that is now almost a decade ago. And when we think about the great plays of the storied career of Eli Manning, I mean, that's right up there, right? That the two plays that you think of are that play and the Tyree play.
That's why the conversation about whether or not Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer is ridiculous, man. You're talking about the biggest stage the NFL has to offer, and Eli has two of the what? top 10, top 15 most iconic moments in Super Bowl history?
Absolutely.
I think that throw, I mean, that throw to Tyree may be one of, I mean, that may be a top two or three.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, under the circumstances. I mean, he should have, I mean, the whistle should have blown. I mean, he was in the grasp of three.
The rules were different back then, though, Rick. The rules didn't change until 2009, yeah.
No, I know, but listening to, I think the referee in that, right behind Eli Manning was Mike Carey, who said he probably, I mean, if he had a better angle, he probably should have blown it down, but he didn't. But I mean, you're playing what would have been. I mean, if the Patriots win that Super Bowl, that's the greatest team of all time.
Of all time.
It's not even a question.
No, we can never discuss it again.
No, I mean, it's
and Mercury
it's
Morris
and 0.
Is disgusted.
Yeah.
He would be disgusted. But I mean, if you look at that Patriots run to 18-0 in how they were winning games, for the Giants to beat them in the Super Bowl, that may be the great. I don't care what anyone, you can argue with me if you want. Under those circumstances, in that situation, making that catch, which still makes no sense to anyone watching it over and over again.
And you've heard the stories, right? Where during the week, he couldn't, in practice, he couldn't catch anything.
No, he couldn't catch anything. I mean, the fact that he caught it on his helmet with Rodney Harrison ripping at his arm, I mean, was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of the great catches of all time. And then the one from Manningham was, I mean, the throw is insane. And the catch is amazing, too. And to get both feet down, I mean, these are two of the most, I don't think this is me, Giants fan, Rothenberg speaking, these are two of the most iconic plays in the history of the NFL, aren't they, Chris?
They have to be, Dave. They have to be, man. And that's why we love it, man. We want to see guys be at their best when their best is required, and Eli Manning was always that. And then you talk about two guys that are kind of nondescript players in Mario Manningham and David Tyree, and guess what? They had huge moments, and that cemented their legacy with the Giants franchise. So, I mean, I just, you know, to me, the playoffs is where you make your legacy as a player. And getting back to how we started this conversation, the NFL expanding the playoff field, I'm excited to see what comes out of it, the kind of drama that we're going to see, especially in the earlier rounds.
Bigger play, Manningham or Santonio Holmes?
I'm going to say Manningham, and I'll tell you why. I think the Steelers probably win that game anyhow. I don't know if the Giants win that game if Manningham doesn't make that catch and Eli doesn't make that throw. I could be wrong. I don't think there's a huge difference between the two. But remember, the Steelers were down where? That was like the 12-yard line.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Was that first down? It might have been first down. The Steelers were in position to get in and score regardless. I don't know that the Giants would have gone down and
you say
regardless.
That. Say that to the Atlanta Falcons when they were first in goal inside the 10-yard line and couldn't score.
But I would probably lean toward Manningham too, Dave. Well, first of all, because I was on the team and got a ring out of it. But secondly, when you look at the opponent, I mean, the Steelers were playing the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, going up against the Patriots and Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, I think that puts another layer on it.
What would
unbelievable
you
say? Unbelievable playing that game too. No, the Santonio, I mean, between the throw and the catch, it was, I mean, ridiculous. They actually, I mean, circumstances different, but I mean, where the throw was, I mean, as far as how close to the sideline, I mean, Holmes was in the end zone, but I mean, to keep both feet in for both receivers was crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
But the play at the end of the first half that James Harrison made, he returned. I mean, I still like, you can, I can see it in my head.
I can't believe they didn't tackle him.
I know. And then he rolls into the end zone.
At any point, the half is over. Like, that's not your first goal at the six. That's the half is over and you go in still in decent shape if you're Arizona. Oh, that was, when you look back at the most defining plays in Super Bowl history, that has to be one of them.
That just solidified for me that watching James Harrison at his size run that fast, like, you just, like, how big he is, like, he's by far one of the scariest guys in the NFL.
And nobody wanted to tackle him, Rick.
Nobody.
Nobody wanted to tackle him.
But you know, when you go back and you look at, like, there's a missed tackle. He had a chance. That guy had a chance. There's another missed tackle. They must have had, what, 8 to 10 chances to stop him during the course of that run.
Yeah, I think it was actually a wide receiver that tried to tackle him twice and missed both times.
Yeah, but then look, remember, go back to that play in your head. Remember when he's like, it looks like he's actually going to go down at, like, the 2-yard line. And he kind of, like, rolls on a defender into the end zone.
Yep.
Sick play. Sick.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message, of course, brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters at 98.7 ESPN, New York. Of course, guys, the phone lines are open for you. If you just need a familiar voice, if you just want us to chat with you or make fun of you or give you life advice or whatever, who would you say of the three of us would be the one that people would turn to for life advice, Rick? Would that be me, I would imagine?
No, I can't. I would say you're probably number three on the list.
Number three of three?
I would say three of three, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, you told us the other day that, I mean, as far as cooking is concerned, you can make macaroni and cheese.
Yes.
I mean, you don't do anything ridiculous
because he's making it out of a box.
Well, what can I do? Homemade mac and cheese?
Yes,
well,
homemade mac and cheese. When I have mac
say
and
home
cheese,
cooked.
It's somebody making it from scratch.
See, that's what they get you on the Food Network. When you're watching the shows, you got to listen. You got to listen when they bring you into the show. Some will say it's homemade. Others say it's home cooked. So, Dave, you're more of a home. You home cooked it.
Yeah.
You cooked it
and by the way, if there was a PhD course in reheating, oh, I can reheat. I know like the exact time to put it on for the microwave. 65 seconds, 95 seconds. I'll either under reheat it, take it out, stir it up a little bit just so that the other areas can get the reheating. I mean, I'm probably the Emeril Lagasse of the reheating business. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably a little bit late to the party. I mean, I feel like the NCAA gave you, their new ruling years and years ago, probably, 47?
Yeah.
So probably around, 25 years ago, do you feel like your eligibility just would continue in college? You're like the Van Wilder of adults.
Yes.
I mean, you're describing what a college kid does on a regular basis.
Well, no, but I don't think the college kid gives the attention to detail. And if there's parts of the reheating, like we have a lot of pasta now because people have dropped off a lot of food, pasta, typically someone might reheat it and then just serve it to someone else. And there's that little area that's cold. No, I look to the nuanced detail of the reheating and I make sure that every aspect of it is a nice warm piece of pasta or chicken or whatever you're going to have in every bite. So I'm very good with the attention to detail in the reheating.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, no one's going to argue that as far as attention to detail is concerned, I mean, you're as good as it gets. But the functionality of you as a human being is very, very limited.
I think that's probably very, very fair. So you would say if someone needed life advice in a time like this, I would be the third of the three that you would go to.
No, it depends. I mean, it depends on the kind of life advice. Canty's not married. Canty doesn't have kids. So maybe that would push you up a little bit. But I mean.
Or it depends on the specific life advice that you need.
That's the beauty of the show. And that's why there's three of us. So any question you have or any experience that I know, you're having some trepidation about, between the three of us, we've been through it.
I mean, if you have a plumbing issue, clearly you're the guy that we would go to.
Yeah, if you have an elevator issue, can't easily get out of ass.
Yeah, if your elevator is not functioning at high capacity right now, call us and Chris will walk you through it.
Yeah, Canty's like the upper, if you have an upper crust question, like you have champagne problems, you ask Canty. Yeah.
Yes.
Like if you have, you're a bit of a social misfit, girls don't really talk to you, you ask Dave that question.
Well, why am I looking to talk to girls? I have a beautiful wife who I adore. I'm not looking to make girlfriends.
No one's saying girlfriends, but if you could do it, then they could do it. It's motivational. Like if Dave Rothenberg could find a Sherry, then they can too. And then if you have any surgery/injury concerns, I'm probably the guy you want to ask.
So the phone lines are open. If you need advice in any phase of your life, 800-919-3776. Now, in these very trying times, important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com. Let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Here's my question for both of you. Is it too early for ice cream? It's what? It's 10:37.
No.
So you tell me. It's not?
No.
Chris, you agree?
Yeah,
you
all social norms are suspended until further notice because of what we're dealing with.
All right. Founded by a retired NYC police officer, Duffy's Ice Cream, located 94 Clinton Street in the historic village of Montgomery. Duffy's is a 1950s-style diner serving amazing burgers, comfort food, and, of course, their famous handmade ice cream. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So they open in 22 minutes for local delivery and pickup. You can find Duffy's Ice Cream on Facebook as well as their website, duffyseatery.com. With all the eating that I've been doing over the last few weeks, I have not had a lot of ice cream. I feel like I've underutilized that right now, Chris. Have you been going to the ice cream well?
No, I haven't been turning to the ice cream. It's been more cookies and pies
and
cakes. But I feel like I'm neglecting it, Dave. I think you're bringing up a really good point.
How is this funny?
No, because how he said that reminds me of the movie. I forget what movie it goes, cakes and pies, cakes and pies.
But you know what? I find this to be true. And I look at Duffy's as really a changing point for me in my quarantine. I have not been doing the appropriate ice cream eating, and I'm going to change that today. Let's go to the phones. Connor in New Jersey. Connor, you're first up on a Wednesday on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there, Connor. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing well. I just wanted to thank you guys for keeping light of the situation, you know, keeping light of your lives and talking about sports. It definitely brings the highlights to my day, and I wanted to appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate the call, and we're glad that we can give some semblance of levity and enjoyment in this really difficult time. You got something on the NFL?
Yeah, so you guys are talking about the new playoff format. You guys all seem for it. I'm actually against it and pretty against it. Looking just statistically, only 2 6 seeds have ever won the Super Bowl. That'd be the Steelers and the Packers, if I'm not mistaken, right? That'd be 05 and 10, the seasons. So adding two more teams in 30 years, 2 6 seeds won, doesn't look great. And then you kind of mentioned this, the bye, how crucial that is. Think about now a 17-game regular season starting in 2021. You're talking about that bye is crucial. Instead of being in the AFC Championship, you're talking about the first round of the playoffs. So it's a huge levy for the one seed.
Yeah, but couldn't you imagine? I mean, now we have the extra team. You don't think at some point that the NFL wants to add two more teams? And then you have the first and second seeds have byes? And you just add another wild card team to it?
I don't think the NFL is going to get to the business of having half the teams in the league make the playoffs.
You say that
but
now.
If you add two more, then you go to 34 teams, right? And then if you add two more to get in, then you go to 16. So you're still at less than half the league getting into the postseason.
What'd you say?
If you go to two more teams in the NFL.
No, he's talking about two more teams to the playoff field. The NFL
I thought he said when they add two more teams to the league as well.
They're not adding two more teams to the league, Dave. That's not going to happen.
They've already
shot that down. People have talked about that the last couple of years. That's not happening.
You don't think in the next 30 years we have two more teams in the NFL?
No. I think you'll get more. I think there are more games. I see 17 as a pathway for the owners to get to 18 games because, remember, they tried to pitch it to us during the last negotiations for the CBA in 2011. I don't think that they're going completely away from that. I think you'll see roster expansion before you see the NFL adding teams.
Okay. I could definitely see another two wildcard teams at some point.
But if you add two more wild card teams without adding to the league, now you do have half the league going to the postseason.
Yeah, and that takes away from it being special. I like the idea of the NFL, you know, limiting the playoff field. I think it's 43% of teams get into the playoffs. I think that's how it should be. The majority of teams should be out of the playoffs. I don't like what the NBA and what hockey does. I'm kind of in alignment with the NFL and what baseball does. Now with baseball, they play 162 games, so you kind of know who the good teams are and who the bad teams are. But with the NFL and with injuries and how the regular seasons unfold, you know, it's really about a team playing well at the right time. But I do think you have to put some context with it, and it has to be a reward for playing well during the regular season, earning the right to get into the second season.
You may not like it, but it's going to make more money. And that's what this all comes down to, making more money. In the NHL playoffs, half the teams make it, but outside of the NFL, the NHL have the best playoffs.
Yeah, that's NHL playoffs is awesome. It's awesome.
NHL playoffs are unbelievable.
And you get these eight seeds to beat the one seeds, probably more regularly in the NHL than any other sport.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I appreciate the call and the compliment and everything else, but I mean, his argument against having two extra playoff teams was, I mean, the whole point of the playoffs is that the best team wins. I mean, what he described was the best team wins. Well, only 2 6 seeds. Okay, well, that's just further to the point. The best teams are still going to win, regardless if you add teams or not. You may not think it's special, but it's going to make the owners more money. And if you're not going to give them an 18th regular season game, they're going to find a way to add another game.
I mean, I understand that. It's going to make the owners more money because you're going to have more markets engaged. I think them going to this format with 14 teams, the big motivation behind it was having more revenue and adding additional playoff games that you can sell for the impending television contract negotiations. I'm just saying from a player's perspective, looking at it, I don't like it. I'd rather have the playoffs be looked at as something that's special, something that's hard to attain. And to me, 14 out of 32 making it, it's still special. When you start talking about half the teams making it, I don't know, man. I just think the degree of difficulty goes down, and that takes some of the shine off of it. Now, as far as money, yeah, I get it. Everybody's going to be for it because it makes more money. I just think that there has to be something special about the second season, about the postseason, and having more teams miss it than make it, to me, makes it special.
And I agree with your point, but then I look at hockey and I don't think of that as a less special postseason. I look at hockey as a sensational postseason, and half the teams go from the regular season into the postseason.
Well, you're right, Dave, but I mean, with football, I look at it from the standpoint of this is something that they're experimenting with, and Rick just said it, the NFL has the best playoffs. Well, it's the best because in part, it's special. It's hard to get to the playoffs. And usually when it comes to job security for players and coaches, the mandate is getting to the playoffs. If you get to the playoffs, you're probably not going to be fired. And I think it's just, it's one of those things where it's special because it's so hard.
No, you're right. And listen, I mean, in theory, I agree with you. I just think in practicality, I mean, it's going to be, you know, more games mean, you know, more opportunities to find new partners to televise the games. If you want to do streaming and everything else, you already saw, you know, Nickelodeon now. I just think it's the reality of it. I mean, they're going to continue to try to build the pie, add to the pie, and that means more games. What I would like, actually, and who knows if it ever gets to this point, I think if you were to go, so we're at 14 now, if you added two extra teams, you made it 16, I would be a proponent for, I would see the playoffs. Forget the division winners, according to record.
Yeah, I would like that as well.
That way, I mean, you're incentivized. The better record you have, the more likely you are to have a home game.
Now, are you still going to get a division winner, though? Like, if you're Seattle and you're 7-9, are you going to get the 7 seed? Or do you still get in by winning your division, right?
You get in, but you get seeded, yeah.
So you would be the 7th seed if you're 7-9, and you'd be on the road.
Yeah, you don't deserve a home game.
Right.
See, I like that because, I mean, there's a clear – I mean, Seattle's one of those places too, like New Orleans, Seattle. I mean, there's a distinct advantage of having to play a game in Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere that you go, which is hopefully from like the bedroom to the laundry room to the den to the living room. Here's what you do. You click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app. Or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. John L. Monte would like to know, guys. We'll start with you, Chris. Gift advice for my wedding anniversary, please. Side note, I'm not a former professional athlete, and my wife doesn't want me out of the house except for work. So I think clearly he can order something that's delivered to the house. Now the question, and Chris, we can start with you, is what does he get her on probably a somewhat limited budget for their wedding anniversary?
Dave, I have no idea. I think I'd have to know his wife to have an idea of it, but I think he should try to get some insight from her. I'm not a big believer in trying to overcook things. Just ask her, be direct about the things that she wants, and then you try to figure out something along those lines.
All right, Rick, where would you go? Do you have anywhere?
Well, first,
do you agree with Chris?
Yeah. No, I think first you grab a box, and then you cut a hole in the box.
Oh, come on.
No, in all, if I'm being what I would do, and it depends. I think he has, I think John does have kids. So you, because of the situation that we're in, you get the kids involved. So what I would do is I would write a beautiful card, mm-hmm. handwritten card. I mean, if you want to have the kids make the card because you don't want to go buy one or you can't, your wife won't let you go buy one, have the kids make it. You write in the inside of it.
Right.
And then you cook her favorite meal. And then you have the kids help you make the dessert. And then you bust out the dessert and have them, you know, wish mom a happy anniversary.
All lovely ideas. You know what else you could add to that? A scavenger hunt where the gift is at the end of the scavenger hunt and the family goes on this hunt. And then you lead from the gift to the dinner and then the cards and everything.
But you would need a gift, though. I mean, that's
exactly. That's
but you can order a gift.
Yeah, but some people, I mean, again, I mean, yeah, I guess you order something. But
I mean, you don't need to be extravagant. You could order a pretty necklace or earrings without breaking the bank.
Yeah, but you don't need to do that. I mean, the wife, I mean, that's like, I give this, Chris agrees with me when I say this. Is that, I mean, that's something that I would do when I played, like, just for no reason. Like, oh, what should I get her? I'll just get her a piece of jewelry. She doesn't even wear the jewelry anymore. She would much rather have some kind of experience that she'll remember, like a beautiful meal, a nice, you know, a nice bottle of wine, something like that that you can share together.
Yeah, but Rick, some women, jewelry does it for them. So I think you have to know your partner's love language before yes. you can figure out what the best gift would be.
Yeah, so John, yeah, whatever it is that's her happy spot, her sweet spot, go in that direction. If a gift is necessary, do that. If not, then you know, you do, I think, what we've kind of
told you. Or maybe you go Tiger King. Maybe you go Tiger King. Maybe you get yourself a Prince Albert, or maybe you even go further and you get a tattoo right above the junk.
Now, how are you getting a tattoo right now?
It's a great question.
It's also a good question, but I mean, you could say yes. maybe put that in the card, like a little, it's a certificate that I'm going to get a tattoo that says property of.
Or you do the stenciling now, right? You do the outline now. Yeah. There
Kathy, did you see that part of the show when he pulls off the tattoo?
I did see that part of the show where his spouse, yeah. I saw that.
Property. Let's quickly go out to Chicago, to the Windy City, and bring in Ryan. Ryan, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're hanging in there.
Yeah, I must say, you guys got me through yesterday. We just moved into this house, and I was unpacking some bathroom things. This is in the midst of, you know, Ricky plunging. And I stumbled on some flushable wipes.
Uh-oh.
And I must say, it changed my life. I can't.
I told you. I'm telling you right now.
Fantastic.
I'm telling you right now. I'm offering this up to all the listeners that aren't on board with the flushable wipes. And I'm not saying use a whole. Don't use 5-6 wipes. I'm challenging you to this. Get some wipes. Find some wipes that are flushable wipes. Order them if you have to. Wipe yourself with regular toilet paper until you think you're done, and then grab a flushable wipe and give yourself a little polish, and you'll realize that the toilet paper is not doing anything.
You feel so much cleaner.
Oh, dude, it feels unbelievable, doesn't it?
It's incredible.
But, Ryan, is the risk worth the reward, Ryan? That's the question. I mean, if you're in a situation where now you're clogging up your toilet and your septic tank potentially, is that worth it for a clean bottom?
Well, we don't have a septic tank, so there's that positive. So, yeah, I'm going to have to risk-reward. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, good for you. And success with your new house. We appreciate the phone call. That's fine.
That's my guy right there. I'm telling you, it's just going to change your life. You feel, I mean, it's unbelievable.
By the way,
I mean,
you know what? Go ahead.
No, you want to go commando? You feel, listen, I can go commando. I'm not going to screw up my pants. You want to go white undies? You can go white undies. You feel good about it. Confidence, Dave. It's all about confidence.
Yeah, don't use the wipes, you're rolling the dice. No question about it.
Exactly right.
You're rolling the
dice. I'm not anti-wipe for wipe purposes. I'm anti-wipe for the potential damage it does to the toilet and beyond.
But listen to Chris, Dave. This is the finishing touch of the wipe. This isn't, you have to do, I mean, you can use one wipe a sitting just to make sure that you're, you know, you're fully taken care of and then you're done with it.
If you're a grown man, it's hard to explain why you got streaks in your underwear to your lady. Just
exactly.
Can't do it.
You gotta throw them away.
We're all in agreement with that. By the way, the new tagline for the Nemo movie, instead of just keep swimming, just keep plunging. just keep plunging. That'll be the adult version of the next one.
Could you imagine it? Listen, I'll tell you what. If Mike Milbury, if that was a combine, if that was an NHL combine event, and he saw me plunge that toilet, he would have lost his mind.
It felt like, but the master plumber that called us said you want to slowly plunge and then remove. It felt like you were fast and furious with the plunger yesterday.
Well, I had to keep up with the water. The water kept going down for some reason, so I had to maintain the intensity while the water was still in the toilet.
But I agree with you. If we were looking for a world record, you know, per minute plunge, you'd be right up there. You'd be the Usain Bolt of
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.